The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Still a few months to go before the US election, and already plenty of twists and turns. Our man on the ground in the States is none other than comedian Jim Elliott, good friend of the show. He is in Utah, the Mormon state, talking to locals in the first of a series that we are calling The South Lawn. Jim, what is The South Lawn?
The South Lawn is the concept for what this politics podcast is, because it's about politics, but it's not. I mean, I'm not a journalist. I'm not a political scientist. I'm a comedian. And you and the good people you have working for your staff, you guys are going to cover the news stories that have the policy in it. That's the West Wing. This is the South Lawn. This is where presidents go to hang out. This is where George H.W. Bush played horseshoes in front of foreign dignitaries. This is where Barack Obama installed a basketball court so he could play full court with his staff. This is where Dwight D. Eisenhower put out a putting green. This is the South Lawn. This is politics and the oddball stories that are coming up to the election.
Oh, I like it. I like it. And there'll be plenty of oddball stories, I'm sure. Before we talk about kind of this week's oddball story to kick things off, you're in the States. So, I mean,
I am.
Is there a kind of a sense of a looming election there? Are people talking about it? What's happening?
Well, everybody's talking about it, of course. But what's surprising to me is the mood on the ground, because I was doing nothing but consuming American cable news in the week before I went. And I was talking to friends, and anything that you hear in the media is about how, oh, American society is so divided and what's going on. But let me tell you, on the ground, that's not what I'm seeing at all. We landed in Vegas and then we drove out into the desert. That's what we've been doing for the past 2 weeks, hiking and all that. But the first thing I saw when I arrived in Vegas was a bank of slot machines, and a guy in a Make America Great Again hat was playing the slots, and he was sitting next to a lady wearing a Black Lives Matter t-shirt. And that shows that no matter how divided people can be on the political spectrum, we're all on the same team when we're facing down the one-armed bandit.
But it is an interesting point you make, because sometimes I guess it's the kind of the cartoon characters almost that get the attention here, so the people at the MAGA rallies or whatever who will say the most outlandish things into camera. But what you're saying is actually something that struck me a few weeks ago when J.D. Vance was named as Trump's running mate. We spoke to kind of a former teacher of his and people from the local community. And I have to say, whatever you think about J.D. Vance and his politics and where he has kind of got to on his own personal journey, they were really lovely people.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, is that everybody is lovely people. So I have been carrying around I got a little portable microphone with me. And I've been, eventually you get to a bar, you chat to people for an hour or two, and then the news comes on, because there's always a TV on in an American bar. And then you start talking about it. And I take out the microphone and go, "Do you guys have anything to say about it?" And no normal people want to talk into the microphone. The result is the only clips that you get on the media in Europe are the crazies. So, but everybody's not like that. Most people recognize that everybody's out here just trying to do their best.
Listen, before we talk again about this week's odd story, because it really is an oddball story if people haven't heard it. I know you've been going to go on National Park to National Park. That is one of the great things that the US has given to the world, the National Park System.
Absolutely. It's the national park system. It's public. It's open to the public. I tell you what it is. It's the creeping rise of socialism. That's what it is.
Got to be careful. Got to be careful. So privatize those parks, people. Make America.
Absolutely. I want to see a McDonald's and an Exxon at the Bryce Canyon. That's the goal.
Well, listen, I don't know what the policy position of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., RFK Jr., is in terms of privatizing the national parks. But he is the subject of our oddball story this week. Now, for people who don't know what we're talking about, he was involved in some sort of traffic accident with a bear that he was going to take home and skin and put the meat in his fridge. But look, you tell me, what actually happened, Jim?
So what actually wound up happening was he was out driving early in the morning because he was headed upstate to do that total man of the people hobby, which is falconing. Where you go out into the woods with somebody that has a trained falcon, and the falcon picks up squirrels and game for you, and it's a grand old time. But I don't know anybody who falcons. I've never been falconing in my life. So anyway, there's this bear that's hit by a car on the way up there, and he says, "Ooh, free bear roadkill. I'm going to throw this in the back of my car." He does, but then they have such a lovely time falconing. It's getting late. He's got to get to dinner in New York City. He doesn't have time to get home to get the bear skinned and into his fridge. So he's out at dinner with his friends. He tells me he has this bear in the car. They're in Manhattan. And Manhattan at the time had just put in cycle lanes through Central Park. And typical New Yorker tempest in a teapot kind of story. Some people were like, well, this is dangerous. People walk in the park. You can't have cyclists whizzing through. Somebody might get hurt. So he said, I've got this dead bear. It's a great idea. What we're going to do, I do also have an old bicycle that I was taking to the junkyard in my van. We're going to take the bear to Central Park. We're going to leave it on the cycle lane. We're going to put the bicycle there and beat the crap out of the bike and stage it as if the bear cub was killed by a bicycle in New York City. And that's what he did. And this, you can go back and look at old issues of the New York Times, because it was a story. People were like, what's a bear cub doing in Central Park? Was it killed by a bicycle? They never figured out what had happened. And then apparently what was going to happen was the New Yorker magazine has a story coming out this week that says, you know, that was actually RFK Jr. that staged that. And so he decided to get out in front of the story and release this interview. You know who he was doing that interview with?
Who?
Comedian Roseanne Barr. Do you remember Roseanne Barr?
Yeah, sorry. She went MAGA crazy, didn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, she got canceled and lost her show for some interesting theories that she has about Jewish people. And that's who RFK Jr. is hanging out with these days.
Oh, my God. Sorry, it is just so much to unpack on this story. It is absolutely mental. I don't know how else to describe it. What's been the reaction to his admission?
Just everybody's kind of going, well, yeah, because nobody knows anything about this guy except for the wacky stuff that comes out of his own mouth in the press. He had an interview earlier this year when it was discovered from a court deposition that he gave in 2010, where he claimed that he was suffering from brain fog and memory loss. And he went to get checked out because the Kennedy family has, you know, they've lost family members to brain cancer. But his doctor told him that he was actually did not have brain cancer. The dark spot on his brain that was causing him this memory loss was because he believed he had a parasitic worm in his brain that had eaten a part of his brain and then died. And that was the problem. These were the headlines about 2 months ago before we were doing this podcast. So the idea really is, my heart goes out to whoever RFK Jr.'s campaign manager and press people are, because you want your candidate to stay on message. You want him to try to, you know, he's a third party candidate. He's on the ballot in some 18, 20 odd states. They want him to maybe not tell stories about having brain worms and skinning bears.
Skinning bears.
It's a tough get.
Going falconing and dead parasitic worms in his head. Which member of the animal kingdom will feature next week in RFK Jr.'s campaign trail? I mean, it is absolutely mad stuff. Listen, before I let you go, Jim, we were speaking on the show yesterday to people in Minnesota about Tim Walz, and kind of they were acknowledging a lot of people caught by surprise. A lot of people don't know who this guy is. People who don't follow politics day in, day out. Did you know who he was?
I knew who he was because I was pretty familiar with the long list of candidates that might make it on board. And again, in keeping with the South Lawn, I'm not going to talk about anything policy-wise for him. I got a story about Tim Walz from the late 90s. Okay. This is after he got out of the military, still in the National Guard, but he takes a job teaching geography at Mankato West High School. And while he's teaching geography, he becomes the defensive coordinator for the high school football team. And this high school football team, when he got the job, had lost 27 straight games. They had a losing streak, 27 games, multi-years long, 0-27. He gets the job. What happens that year? They win the state championship, baby. That's the kind of message that Tim Walz brings to the Kamala Harris campaign.
Jim Elliott, always a pleasure, Jim, and enjoy your time in the States. Jim will be back same time next week with another edition of The South Lawn.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.